we return, Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Our food and dining segment has finally arrived. I'm very hungry. I'm joined by colleague, chef, author, syndicated columnist, Linda Gastenheimer. Linda, the high-end restaurant scene is a fascinating place to watch people and to gossip, but of course, you and I would never do that.
Oh, certainly not, but we know who would, and she's going to join us today. Well, if you're looking for the newest restaurant, or where celebrities hang out, or the latest gossip or rumors, here are your sources. You can go to the Velvet Underground, you can go to Scene in the Tropics, or Locally Sourced, and they're all columns that help us keep up on the ever-changing Miami scene. And their author is columnist Leslie Abravanel, and she's here to give us a scoop. Welcome, Leslie.
Thanks, Linda.
Great to have you with us. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have a restaurant or a club question or maybe a suggestion? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email radio@WLRN.org.
And also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, are we drinking today?
We're talking about restaurants and, guess what? Wine.
Oh, all right. What a surprise. Leslie, I love your title, The Velvet Underground. You know, what does it mean? Where'd you get that title?
It's a 60s rock band.
Well, people think that I named it after Lou Reed's band, but I actually took it from my other favorite, Stevie Nicks, so from the lyrics in Gypsy.
Oh.
I just liked how it sounded. But yeah, the correlation to Lou Reed also kind of worked. So,
well, what does the column tell us?
Well, Velvet Underground covers nightlife events, things going on after dark, whether it's clubs or even restaurants. As long as there's booze and it's dark out, I can write about it.
Well, that sounds exciting.
That's how I put my criterion.
That's all you need.
And you mentioned that you scoped the scene for stars and scandals. So what's going on this week? What's new?
Well, we don't have too many scandals right now. You know, it's summer. But basically, we had some interesting sightings last week when the X Factor judges were in town. They were filming a boot camp of sorts at the Fillmore. And we had Britney Spears and Demi Lovato and L.A. Reid, and it was originally open to the public. And then, long story short, when people got down there, X Factor says, you know what, you can't come in, with no reason given whatsoever. So we like to think that Britney had a meltdown, but we can't really say.
Well, now, how do you handle this? I mean, do you go to all of these places? Where do you get all your info?
I can't tell you that.
Well, just give us a little hint.
Well, I mean, I go to what I go to, and then I have a lot of sources, a network that I've kind of cultivated since, I don't know, I don't even want to say the date, for a long time. A very reliable network, let's just say.
Okay, well, now you have a column called Scene in the Tropics.
Right.
Now, is that similar to the Velvet Underground?
Yeah, I mean, whereas Velvet Underground is about events open to the public and things not always celebrity-related, Scene in the Tropics covers the celebrity scene in Miami, who's where, doing what.
And we have so many celebrities here. Let me ask you, you know, you write about so-and-so was at this restaurant or at that club, and this is what they had. How do the celebrities decide where to go, and are they invited, or do they pay? Do they get paid for doing this?
You know, that's a fantastic question, because as much as we'd love to say that a lot of the celebrities go on their own choosing to certain restaurants, there are some pretty crafty public relations people out there who find out who's coming to town and invite them to eat dinner at one of their clients' places. So, I mean, you know,
on the house.
They'll say no, but typically yes, because it's good PR for the restaurant. But I was actually shocked to find out recently that two D-list celebrities from one of the Bravo Housewives shows ate at Zuma, and they actually paid the bill, which is kind of shocking.
Oh, was that because they were D-list?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was shocking that they paid to begin with, not necessarily because they're D-list, but yeah, well, let's just say because they're not, like, the biggest names, and I was shocked that they actually paid the bill.
I'm on the Z-list.
Well, what about, does money change hands? I mean, do they get paid to come, the top guys, you know?
That, it's such an interesting very convoluted new scene, you know, down here, where a lot of big companies will pay for celebrities to come show up at events. So these are, like, we're talking big corporate sponsor events. Like, for instance, you know, the Miami Swim Week was recently, so there were celebrities down here. Nothing major, but a lot of them are given free trips and maybe a little bit of a stipend to be down here. So, you know, they're not really taking much out of their pockets.
Well, let me ask you now, locally sourced. Now, all of these columns, well, the two, Velvet Underground and Scene in the Tropics, that's in the Miami Herald.
Correct.
And locally sourced is on Miami.com?
Yes.
Okay, so what does locally sourced tell us?
Locally sourced is the food and restaurant gossip column that I started sometime back in April on Miami.com covering, like, restaurant gossip. So forget celebrities eating at the restaurants. We're talking about what's opening, who's opening, and all that fun stuff.
I have never seen, so, I mean, tell me if I'm right, so many openings in the summer here in Miami. What's happening?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Usually everything shuts down during the summer, but I think that a lot of places and people are choosing to use the summer maybe as a trial before the season so they can open up and get the kinks out before all the craziness begins. Kind of makes sense.
Well, yeah, but they've got to have a lot of capital to carry them through to the season,
this
especially since
true.
We could come into the hurricane season here and all.
No, you're right. I mean, first we started out with a spate of closings with, you know, Sustain was the first one. Everyone was shocked that that closed. Then Senora Martinez.
Well, right. Now, Sustain is in Midtown, is that
correct?
And I understand that another restaurant's taking it over. What's happening there?
Well, as I like to say, my sources tell me, and it's not 100% confirmed, but it's 99.9% that Sugarcane, which is Sustain's neighbor, has signed a lease to take the space and is going to turn that space into an Italian concept.
Didn't we have the Sugarcane chef on
few
weeks ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm, Timon. Well, it's really a shame because Sustain was, you know, all of this eco-friendly food, and they spent so much money on that location.
They did. They really did. And it was really a big shock when it closed because, you know, to all the critics and everything, it was critically acclaimed, but I guess it just never, you know, no pun intended, was able to sustain what they spent and sit there. It was a shame. But
I like your pun. I like it.
It was inevitable. Sugarcane seems to be able to do that, so we'll see what happens. But they're being very coy. They're not saying anything.
Well, and then Senora Martinez, I mean, Michelle Bernstein has been such a great success. What happened there?
Well, again, I mean, there were people saying that she closed because she couldn't compete with Jose Andres on South Beach, which I think is a little ridiculous because she was there first. She held her own. But apparently it wasn't doing the business that it should have been doing, and it wasn't too busy. So I guess Michelle did the smart thing and decided to focus elsewhere and close it up. It was a shame. People were very surprised, but then the insiders weren't that surprised. So
right, but, I mean, she's nowhere near the South Beach.
Right, exactly. So I thought that theory was a little suspect.
So I understand that there's maybe a big, big name from California coming here?
We can only hope, but it's going up and down like the stock market right now. I mean, first we're told, okay, Thomas Keller, French Laundry, Bouchon, he's coming to Miami. We're told this, we hear it, he may be going somewhere near Brickell, we don't know. So anyway, the rumor swirling now is that Keller is going to take over spaces in the Mandarin.
The Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
Correct.
On Brickell, yeah.
Correct.
On Brickell Key.
Joel Huff had vacated that seat a few months ago, Joel Huff left abruptly. And while Azul is holding its own, I've been told that Keller has been sort of sniffing around and is close to signing a deal. That's one side of it. The other side is saying, no, it's not going to happen at all. Keller's people are saying, we're not commenting on anything.
Well, you know, I wonder sometimes, kind of like the White House in this sense, that they put these feelers out, they put these rumors out, and they want to hear what people think. Maybe that's helping them to make their decision. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be like the culinary wag the dog, you know, like let's create some hype and see what happens. It makes some sense. But then again, someone like Thomas Keller, I don't think he needs to do that. But what can I say? I don't know. I mean, he hasn't told me anything, so.
Well, we want everyone to know it's rumor, correct?
Exactly. It's all rumor, yeah. And it's fun to speculate, but right now there's nothing written in stone, so.
All right. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guest today is Velvet Underground columnist Leslie Abramovil. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Leslie Abravanel writes The Velvet Underground, Scene in the Tropics, columns for the Miami Herald, and locally sourced column for Miami.com. And she's also the author of Fromer's Florida. She's been giving us the scoop on social and restaurant scene. Lots of new happenings here, always. But it's dinner and minutes time. And today's dinner is a cool, refreshing berry and pasta and steak salad. Steak, it's your happy day, Joe.
Another salad, and with the steak and also the berries and the arugula.
What do you mean another salad?
And the scallions I taste in there.
You sourced it out, huh? Mm-hmm.
Does it really count as a salad if it has steak in it?
There were lots of it, too. Very good from Fresh Market.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Fred. You just have to bear up under it.
I guess so.
I sent you the recipe. You could make it for yourself.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, it's a one-dish meal, and actually it can be ready in 15 minutes. And all kinds of berries are at the height of their season right now, and they add a sweet flavor to this very tangy salad dressing. The salad dressing is made with some horseradish, Dijon mustard added to mayonnaise. And the secret here is I add a little water to the sauce, and it makes the mayonnaise a smooth coating sauce rather than a bit very, very thick, so it's nice and light. So, of course, first you have to cook the pasta, and I used fusilli, which is a corkscrew pasta. Any short-cut pasta would work. While the pasta cooks, you could sauté the steak. I use strip steak, but any kind of tender meat can be used. A thermometer should read 145 degrees if you like it medium-rare, or 160 for medium.
Did you really use a thermometer for the steak temperature?
I always do.
I bet she eyeballed it.
No, I use a thermometer. The only other way is cut into it and have a look. I know you can press your finger on it and decide. My fingers never worked. Anyway, I put that over salad greens, sprinkled the berries on top, scallions or chives on top of that. Very, very simple recipe. The complete recipe is at dinnerandminutes.com. And by the way, if you don't want to even cook the steak, buy some deli roast beef and add it to the salad. Another quick recipe, mustard-crusted chicken with a summer herb salad, is in today's Miami Herald. And please, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred, you're making a lot of noise there. What's going on?
Oh, too many things going on here.
The WWF up in Michigan, I think.
What's happening? Are you already started drinking?
No, somebody was knocking at the door. Right at the perfect timing. Isn't that lovely?
Okay. You got to lock your door. Fred is joining us by Skype, and he's enjoying himself in Upper Michigan.
Yeah, I heard you guys have 104 heat index. We got about, 76, 78, something like that.
All right, just talk to me in the winter, Fred. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, Leslie says you can't have scandals without booze. And I'm hoping that wine qualifies for that, too, because I wanted to talk about a couple of my favorite restaurant wine programs in Miami. A couple of them that could hardly be any more different from each other. And that is one at Captain's Tavern in Pinecrest and one at The Forge in Miami Beach. Now, Captain's Tavern is a seafood restaurant that sells everything from Great Ipswich steamers to lobster without the shell poached in chervil butter, which just sounds marvelous. But what I like about the wine list are the prices. And I counted up, and 91 of the 323 wines on the list are under $30. And a lot of restaurants in Miami don't have any wines under $30. So this is
right. We've
really
talked about
unusual.
Fred, we've talked about that a lot, that you feel that the restaurant should at least have something in that price range.
Yeah, if somebody wants to go for volume rather than high markups, I think they could do very well, and these people do it excellently. And what's also unusual there is that Bill Bowers, who is the founder and the owner of Captain's Tavern, is a red wine lover at heart. So he runs a fish restaurant, and yet 65% of his wines are red. So he wants to drink what he wants to drink. He even has the famous William Selyem Pinot Noirs that have cult status in America because they're so great and they're very hard to find. But Bowers has a secret for finding wines like this, and that is once a year he packs up a whole bunch of Florida stone crabs and heads out to California's wine country and throws a party for the local winemakers. So when it comes time to buy wine, Bill is everybody's friend.
First on the list, huh?
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He has pictures on his wall of himself with Gina Gallo and people like that. It's very, very cool. The other wine program I like is pretty different. It's the Wine by the Glass program at the Forge restaurant in Miami Beach. Now, there they have 80 wines by the glass protected by an enigmatic pouring system that keeps the wine fresh until the last glass is sold. That's one of the biggest programs like that I know of. And it's really varied. You can get for $8 a glass, you can get a nice, friendly Australian red made of Grenache, Mourvedre, and Syrah. Or if you want to plump down $102 for a glass of wine, you can
For
one glass of wine.
Okay.
But you get the 1999 Chateau Haut-Brion from Bordeaux. So if you want to impress your date, that ought to do it.
Well, they also have, what impressed me was that near all the wines by the glass area, they've got an iTouch that you can go to and you can, or maybe it's an iPad, and look up the wine and see what it is before you buy it.
Yeah, they have really thought this thing through. And actually, it's not just wine. They have 8 sakes by the glass, 8 beers on tap, and 39 by the bottle, and even a selection of 5 non-alcoholic wines. And I didn't even know they had 5 non-alcoholic wines. But anyway, now if you're thirsty, you know where to go.
All right. Sounds good to me. Leslie, tell us, we were talking earlier about how much money people spend on restaurants, and then they open and then they close. And I'm thinking in terms of that restaurant au Pied de Cochon, the Pied de Cochon.
Yes.
They spent millions on that restaurant. I think it was less than a year that it was open.
Yeah, I don't think it was even half a year that it was open. I remember it opened in the summer again, and it closed.
It closed before the Christmas season.
It closed right around December.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was a shame. They spent a fortune.
A fortune, but now I understand a restaurant called Gloutonnière is going in there, and instead of using that beautiful facility, they're tearing it apart.
Well, I took French in high school, and my teacher would kill me. I have no French accent, so I just call the place gluttony. And seriously, if you think about what they put into that, and I don't know the numbers, but it makes sense that, you know, the name fits. They tore up everything that au Pied had and rebuilt it, and again, did a similar thing. Opened in the summer, and I wish them the best of luck. But yeah, they're another one spending a fortune.
Right, and I wonder who are the people who invest in these restaurants, because it's hard to get investors.
Yeah, this is a place I think they hail from Mexico City. I don't really know the background as far as the financials, but obviously they have deep pockets.
Right, well, we only have a half a minute left, but I also understand that Turnberry Isles Bourbon Steak is thinking of the Fontainebleau. Is that true?
Well, Bourbon Steak is going to remain put. Obviously, it does really well where it is, but I've been told that Michael Mina is looking into possibly opening his second Miami restaurant at the Fontainebleau, and it makes sense because it's all within the Sofer family. So that should be something interesting.
But isn't there a steak restaurant there already?
There is. Gotham Steak is there. So we don't know if it's going to be a steak restaurant per se, but at this point, Fontainebleau is not commenting. They're saying that they've spoken to many chefs from all over the country, and we'll see what happens with that. But
well, Leslie, great info or non-info, I say. Well, if any of our listeners want to find out more about what's going on every week, every day, Leslie, they can find you at the Miami Herald or Miami.com. Is that right?
That's right, and I'm on Twitter at Leslie Abravanel, so I'm all over the Internet.
Well, they'll have to go and look up your name, how to spell it.
Yeah, they'll find it.
Okay. Another great, tasty week. Leslie Abravanel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Well, Next week, we're going to be talking with Chef James Lewis. He's from Bitola Restaurant in Alabama. And it's a whole bunch of, there's a no kind of new Alabama cuisine.
Alabama, huh?
Alabama. Well, it's not fried chicken anymore there.
No.
So I got to find Alabama wine?
Get busy, Fred Tasker.
I have to be very busy, I think.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.